Section 4. You will hear a lecture about the history of weather forecasting. First, you have some time to look at questions 31 to 40. Now listen carefully and answer questions 31 to 40.
In this series of lectures about the history of weather forecasting, I'll start by examining its early history. That'll be the subject of today's talk. Okay, so we'll start by going back thousands of years. Most ancient cultures had weather gods, and weather catastrophes, such as floods, played an important role in many creation myths. Generally, weather was attributed to the whims of the gods, as the wide range of weather gods in various cultures shows. For instance, there's the Egyptian sun god Ra, and Thor, the Norse god of thunder and lightning. Many ancient civilizations developed rites such as dances in order to make the weather gods look kindly on them. But the weather was of daily importance. Observing the skies and drawing the correct conclusions from these observations was really important. In fact, their survival depended on it. It isn't known when people first started to observe the skies, but at around 650 BC, the Babylonians produced the first short-range weather forecasts, based on their observations of clouds and other phenomena. The Chinese also recognized weather patterns, and by 300 BC, astronomers had developed a calendar which divided the year into 24 festivals, each associated with a different weather phenomenon. The ancient Greeks were the first to develop a more scientific approach to explaining the weather. The work of the philosopher and scientist Aristotle in the 4th century BC is especially noteworthy, as his ideas held sway for nearly 2,000 years. In 340 BC, he wrote a book in which he attempted to account for the formation of rain, clouds, wind, and storms. He also described celestial phenomena such as halos, that is, bright circles of light around the sun, the moon, and bright stars, and comets. Many of his observations were surprisingly accurate. For example, he believed that heat could cause water to evaporate, but he also jumped to quite a few wrong conclusions, such as that winds are breathed out by the earth. Errors like this were rectified from the Renaissance onwards. For nearly 2,000 years, Aristotle's work was accepted as the chief authority on weather theory. Alongside this, though, in the Middle Ages, weather observations were passed on in the form of proverbs, such as "Red sky at night, shepherd's delight; red sky in the morning, shepherd's warning." Many of these are based on very good observations and are accurate, as contemporary meteorologists have discovered. For centuries, Any attempt to forecast the weather could only be based on personal observations. But in the 15th century, scientists began to see the need for instruments. Until then, the only ones available were weather vanes to determine the wind direction and early versions of rain gauges. One of the first, invented in the 15th century, was a hygrometer, which measured humidity. This was one of many inventions that contributed to the development of weather forecasting. In 1592, the Italian scientist and inventor Galileo developed the world's first thermometer. His student Torricelli later invented the barometer, which allowed people to measure atmospheric pressure. In 1648, the French philosopher Pascal proved that pressure decreases with altitude. This discovery was verified by English astronomer Halley in 1686, and Halley was also the first person to map trade winds. This increasing ability to measure factors related to weather helped scientists to understand the atmosphere and its processes better, and they started collecting weather observation data systematically. In the 18th century, the scientist and politician Benjamin Franklin carried out work on electricity and lightning in particular, but he was also very interested in weather and studied it throughout most of his life. It was Franklin who discovered that storms generally travel from west to east. In addition to new meteorological instruments, other developments contributed to our understanding of the atmosphere. People in different locations began to keep records, and in the mid-19th century, the invention of the telegraph made it possible for these records to be collated. This led, by the end of the 19th century, to the first weather services. It was not until the early 20th century that mathematics and physics became part of meteorology. And we'll continue from that point next week.
That is the end of section 4. You now have half a minute to check your answers. That is the end of the listening test. In the IELTS test, you would now have 10 minutes to transfer your answers to the answer sheet. IELTS 14, Tests 1 to 4. Published by Cambridge University Press and Uccles 2019. This recording is copyright. Test 3. You will hear a number of different recordings, and you will have to answer questions on what you hear. There will be time for you to read the instructions and questions, and you will have a chance to check your work. All the recordings will be played once only. The test is in four sections. At the end of the test, you will be given 10 minutes to transfer your answers to an answer sheet. Now turn to section 1. Section 1. You will hear a man phoning the customer services manager of a hotel to get information about holding a conference there. First, you have some time to look at questions 1 to 5. You will see that there is an example that has been done for you. On this occasion only, the conversation relating to this will be played first.
Hello, Flanders Conference Hotel.
Oh, hi. I wanted to ask about conference facilities at the hotel. Have I come through to the right person?
Mm-hmm, you have. I'm the customer services manager. My name's Angela.
The name of the customer services manager is Angela. So Angela has been written in the space. Now we shall begin. You should answer the questions as you listen, because you will not hear the recording a second time. Listen carefully and answer questions 1 to 5.
Hello, Flanders Conference Hotel.
Oh, hi. I wanted to ask about conference facilities at the hotel. Have I come through to the right person?
Mm-hmm, you have. I'm the customer services manager. My name's Angela. So, how can I help you?
Well, I'm calling from Barrett & Stanson's. We're a medical company based in Perth.
Oh, yes?
And we're organising a conference for our clients to be held in Sydney. It'll be held over 2 days, and we're expecting about 50 or 60 people.
When were you thinking of having it?
Sometime early next year, like the end of January. It'd have to be a weekend.
Let me see. Our conference facilities are already booked for the weekend beginning January the 28th. We could do the first weekend in February.
How about January the 21st?
I'm afraid that's booked too.
Well, let's go for the February date then.
So, that's the weekend beginning the 4th.
Okay. Now, can you tell me a bit about what conference facilities you have?
Sure. So, for talks and presentations, we have the Tesla Room.
Sorry?
Tesla. That's spelled T-E-S-L-A. It holds up to 100 people, and it's fully equipped with a projector and so on.
How about a microphone?
Yes, that'll be all set up ready for you. And there'll be one that members of the audience can use too, for questions if necessary.
Fine. And we'll also need some sort of open area where people can sit and have a cup of coffee. And we'd like to have an exhibition of our products and services there as well, so that'll need to be quite a big space.
Mm-hmm, that's fine. There's a central atrium with all those facilities, and you can come before the conference starts if you want to set everything up.
Great. And I presume there's Wi-Fi?
Oh, yes. That's free and available throughout the hotel.
Okay.
Would you also like us to provide a buffet lunch? We can do a 2-course meal with a number of different options.
What sort of price are we looking at for that?
Well, I can send you a copy of the standard menu. That's $45 per person. Or you can have the special for $25 more.
I think the standard should be okay, but yes, send me the menu.
Before you hear the rest of the conversation, you have some time to look at questions 6 to 10. Now listen and answer questions 6 to 10.
Now, we're also going to need accommodation on the Saturday night for some of the participants. I'm not sure how many, but probably about 25. So, what do you charge for a room?
Well, for conference attendees, we have a 25% reduction. So, we can offer you rooms at $135. Normally, a standard room's $180.
And And does that include breakfast?
Sure. And, of course, guests can also make use of all the other facilities at the hotel. So we've got a spa where you can get massages and facials and so on. And there's a pool up on the roof for the use of guests.
Oh, great. Now, what about transport links? The hotel's downtown, isn't it?
Yes. It's about 12 kilometres from the airport, but there's a complimentary shuttle bus for guests, and it's only about 10 minutes walk from the central railway station.
Okay. Now, I don't know Sydney very well. Can you just give me an idea of the location of the hotel?
Well, it's downtown on Wilby Street. That's quite a small street, and it's not very far from the sea. And, of course, if the conference attendees want to go out on the Saturday evening, there's a huge choice of places to eat. Then, if they want to make a night of it, they can go on to one of the clubs in the area. There are a great many to choose from.
Okay. So, if we go ahead with this, can you give me some information about how much we're looking at?
That is the end of section one. You now have half a minute to check your answers. Now turn to section 2.